Want to optimize your health with real data? Sifox Health offers the easiest, most affordable blood biomarker testing kits. Test 17 key biomarkers like cholesterol and inflammation from the comfort of your own home and get results at your fingertips in a few days. Get 20% off at sifoxhealth.com/yami. Know your blood biomarkers and live healthier.
That's what we do naturally, right? We adapt to the signals that are around us. And the same thing, the body actually gives signals. And if we pay attention and we learn at some point what the signals mean and how to respond to them, we can respond in ways that we get a really good outcome and we get what we want, right? So the problem seems to be, you know, I'm finding many people just don't know what the signals mean.
You are here for a reason, but navigating this human life can be challenging. How do you care for your body, mind, and spirit to make the most of your time here on Earth? How can you harness your incredible human potential? In this podcast, we explore these questions and more to help you craft your best life yet. Welcome to I Am Human. Welcome, humans, to another episode of I Am Human. I am your host, Dr. Yami, and I am so grateful for you. Thank you for tuning in week after week, and welcome if you are new to my podcast. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, rate and review, and share your favorite episodes. To be human means to learn to tune into the messages of your body so that you can make empowered decisions about your diet and lifestyle in order to live long and well. Our guest, Dr. Naomi Perella, has been teaching this to her patients for over two decades. Informed by the unique experiences that stem from a bicultural upbringing in international education, Dr. Naomi Perella has never believed that there's only one way to do anything. Now that she's helped over 10,000 patients live healthier, fuller lives, it's safe to say her dynamic approach to wellness works. Whether she's serving as the medical director at Rush Center for Weight Loss or speaking to organizations like United Airlines and Google, Naomi keeps one goal front and center: improve the lives of others. Now, as chief medical officer of the world's most popular fasting tracker and metabolic health app, Zero, she's leveraging the lessons of her distinguished career to provide and improve even more lives at a broader scale than ever before. In this episode of I Am Human, we talk about how Dr. Perella's interest in well-being and longevity started. We talk about the dance of well-being and how we learn to follow our body's lead. We talk about the circadian code, why it's important, and what are the different things that we can do to help protect our circadian rhythms. We talk about informed nutrition, how we can take advantage of it. And we talk about her opinion of whether we can tackle the health crisis affecting our country and if she has hope that we can turn the tide. We also talk about her own personal health and well-being protocol, what her diet is like, and if she integrates time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting. It's a fantastic conversation. We learned some really amazing and inspiring information about what she's doing and the work that she's doing. So I hope that you really love this episode. Thank you again for tuning in. Have a fantastic day. And now let's welcome Dr. Naomi Perella.
The information on this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not meant to replace careful evaluation and treatment. If you have concerns about your health or well-being, please consult a healthcare professional.
Dr. Naomi Perella, welcome to I Am Human. What a pleasure it is to meet you today.
So nice to be on here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really excited about our conversation and to just hear all about the wisdom and knowledge that you've acquired over the past few years. But let's start at the beginning. How did you become interested in well-being and longevity?
Yeah, I mean, who isn't interested in that, right? So I grew up in Japan and then moved to the United States. So I got to see different ways of living life. And I think just seeing what wellness and what people do to engage in their health across different cultures has always been really interesting to me. So it's sort of a natural outcropping. And then, of course, I trained in family medicine. And from there, seeing all the different generations and the different ways people live their life, again, realized there's so many ways to be well and so many ways to be healthy. So that's, I mean, I'm just curious. So that's how I got into it.
So how long did you live in Japan and what differences have you noticed between life in Japan and life in the United States?
So I was born in Japan and I moved to the United States when I was 15. So better portion of my life, I started preschool at a Buddhist preschool. So totally different. Nobody spoke English. So it was a completely different environment. And then, you know, moved to the United States and started in a public high school, which was a very, very different experience. So some of the differences that I've noticed, not that one is necessarily better. They're all great and they all have fantastic parts and challenging parts. The one thing that was really clear in Japan is there is so much emphasis on prevention. And so it was really all about how can you avoid getting sick? How can you make sure you're healthy for as long as possible? You don't have to see the doctor. Those are really the big things. And also the fact that pain or fevers or discomfort weren't necessarily a negative thing to avoid, but to respond to and understand what the body was signaling. So that was very, very different. And then moving to the United States, I was really inspired. People would push themselves as physically almost to the point of like, let me see what I can get away with my body. What can my body do? And then, you know, turning to healthcare and engaging with healthcare when things started falling apart or not feeling so good when there's an injury. And that was a very, very different way of thinking about health for me. So sometimes you had to eat foods you didn't want to eat in Japan because that's what you had to do for your health. And in the US, when I came to the US, it was like, well, I'm going to eat this because I want to eat it and no other reason than that, right? So that it doesn't matter if you should be doing something. It was just you do what you want. So it's just a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, I want to and I can and it's my right.
Yeah, totally.
It's my right. Gosh darn it.
Right. So yeah, even if it means limiting freedoms later. So sometimes you make the difficult decision and you're like, yeah, I'm not going to eat whatever the Twinkie, let's say, because I actually want the freedom later to be able to, you know, climb up a mountain or go skiing or whatever. And some people are like, no, I want the freedom to be able to choose to have that Twinkie right now. And that's great. But if you do that too often, you might stress your body systems, and then you might not be able to ski in the future. You might not be able to climb the mountain because your body has limits from the damage. So just a very different way to think about it.
Yeah. And that's interesting what you said about symptoms in Japan, that you're more like tuning into your body and saying, what does this mean? What's the root cause of this? Instead of like, how can I just get rid of this really quick? Which I think in the United States, everything's inconvenience. We want the fast solution, the magic pill. And sometimes we don't think deeply about root causes, which I think that's starting to change, thankfully.
Totally.
But I like that, how you bring that up, that that can definitely be a cultural difference and a different philosophy, even in medical care of like, okay, let's step back a minute and say, where is this fever come from? Or what is this pain signaling that we can actually go earlier in the chain and try to fix that instead of just addressing the actual symptom.
Absolutely. So, so important. And I think you bring up a good point. People are becoming enlightened, right? One of the things that's really great about the communication globally is we're starting to learn from other cultures as well. So we can take best practices in other places and bring them wherever we live. And so I agree. It's really exciting because more and more physicians, people, healthcare professionals are really engaging with, you know what? I want to start understanding the root cause of this and solving this at the foundation. And that is just such a fun way to think about it because things get better instead of more and more meds and feeling worse.
And it's empowering, right?
Yeah,
I think that once we take that power back and say, what is it that we can do that we have within our control? Because we don't have everything, unfortunately. But the things that we can, how can we change that? So yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because you talk about something called the dance of well-being and following our body's lead. So first of all, tell us, what is the dance of well-being and how do we follow our body's lead?
Yeah. So, you know, if anyone's done any ballroom dancing or dancing at a club or whatever with a partner, you know, you're always responding to the music, which is like the environment, and also to the person in front of you. And so you're looking at signals and you're responding to signals and you're kind of going back and forth. You can't necessarily predict what the other person is going to do, what the next song is going to be, but that's what we do naturally, right? We adapt to the signals that are around us. And the same thing, the body actually gives signals. And if we pay attention and we learn at some point what the signals mean and how to respond to them, we can respond in ways that we get a really good outcome and we get what we want, right? So the problem seems to be, you know, I'm finding many people just don't know what the signals mean. And sometimes the signals are frightening. So if you have a, you know, fever, it's kind of scary. Like, you know, you feel terrible and what does this mean? And, you know, am I going to have a seizure or whatever people worry about? But ultimately, it's the body's immune system kicking up, trying to fight off an infection, right? And you and I know from, you know, medical training, depending on how high the fever is, you know, might be different things going on. And we might worry at different levels and have different things that we're considering causing those fevers. And that's really important because we're trained in learning to read the signals. But everybody else who hasn't gone to medical school or who hasn't been paying attention to the signals, they might not understand what to do with it. And we have not done a great service in educating our children even how to think about the body. So, and what does it mean when your body hurts or when you have something that you don't like that you're feeling? What does that mean? And what's the way you could respond so that you get to heal and repair and thrive, which is what the human body's designed to do, right? So I think that's the fun part, is paying attention and starting to understand what do those signals mean. And that's why a lot of individuals come to see us, right? As doctors, they want to understand what's going on with my body and help me respond appropriately. Now, sadly, we don't all have the same opinions or understandings of what the different signals mean or how to respond to them. But the good news is there's many different ways to respond because the human body is super resilient and adaptable.
Yeah. And I think the key really is tuning in and paying attention, because you're right. I think a lot of us are disconnected from our bodies in this country, and we've never been told that we can have different feelings in response to different things that we eat, or not sleeping enough, or not exercising enough, or of course, substances, which people start getting into rather early. And so learning to tune into that. But I think the other thing that's complex that I'm finding, which of course, your whole life is so dynamic. Things change over time, right? You have to go through puberty, then things may be stable for a while. Then if you get pregnant, things are haywire. Then you're like, okay, smooth sailing for a while. But then you get hit with perimenopause.
Oh, hello. Dear. Yeah.
Nobody told me about that one.
Right.
And so you get used to your body and then things change. Yep. And things change with different stages of development. And so I think that can throw people for a loop too, to also just be gentle with themselves and be patient and know that sometimes you just have to tune in and see, but things are going to change over time. It's not going to be the same your whole life. It may be different. So
I love that. That is so exactly right on. Things change.
Yeah. We just have to be okay with that, I guess.
Right. Learn all the different ways to respond to that, right? And adapt to what happens. Yeah, for sure.
Tell me about the circadian code. What is that and why is it important?
As we know, the body has a circadian rhythm or cycles. I mean, nature has cycles. So this is not a surprise. And a lot of people think of circadian rhythm and the circadian code sort of embedded specifically about sleep, but it actually is gut microbiome, the way your body, pretty much everything has some kind of a circadian rhythm. So I like to think of it more as, what is the rhythm or what are the seasons of a day? The weather changes on, you know, like 3-month basis or whatever on a daily basis. The human body has similar cycles, right? So like you said, there's this, let's say, puberty or perimenopause or pregnancy or postmenopause or even times of very high stress. And that might have a different set of cycles within it. So the gut might be responding on different timelines. Your hormones might get messed up. People will miss a period or, you know, something happens. And sleep also. So sleep is the most obvious because it's every day for most people. And you can tell if you feel rested or not. So sleep is a wonderful way to just kind of understand your body has cycles and all animals sleep. And so we know it's super important. We don't fully understand it. We're trying to understand it better. But the gut also has a circadian cycle and that code embedded. So you have so many gut microbiota, different bugs basically living in your gut, and they also have cycles and they can help you or harm you depending on if you're working within their cycle. Just like for humans, if you're not a morning person, you have to wake up at the crack of dawn to go to work or go to school, it's extremely difficult to function at your best. Gut microbiome, same thing. So if you are feeding or giving your body something that your body's not prepared for because it's not cyclically like the right time, that's an added stressor to the body that you don't need to put your body through. So I like the concept of thinking about the circadian code of your body. And each person, it's a little bit different. And we can actually train it as well, but it's not an overnight thing or suddenly tomorrow I can have a different code.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things too that requires some discipline. And just like you were talking about earlier, we have to be thinking about our future selves and helping optimize things for the future. I found that too for my eating. It's really staying like around the same time every day. If I keep that very regular, I know that that's when I'm going to get hungry. I know that that helps me digest better. I know it helps me sleep better, definitely.
Yeah.
So it is really once you find that rhythm, trying to stick to it and not doing the standard American thing, which is starting to just eat whenever, eat in the car, eat like, you know, just every time it's just eating constantly and throwing things off. So what are some of the other things that we can do to protect these circadian rhythms?
So again, listening to the signals, right? So if you're trying to go to sleep and you can't fall asleep, and that's sort of a chronic problem. I have many patients, you probably do too, who've come in and said, I can't sleep. I've always had insomnia. And when you dig a little deeper, it's usually they're trying to sleep at a cycle that's not matching what their natural cadence is. And society is really set up more for morning people. And we've become more and more aware of that to the point where the CDC is now recommending for adolescents that high school starts a little bit later because adolescents, you know, their sleep cycle shifts. So their circadian rhythm changes. And that happens for everybody throughout life, right? Your circadian rhythm might change. And that's your gut, your sleep, your hormones with regards to reproductive hormones. And so I think the most important thing to pay attention to is what gets easier with time. What gives you more energy? What feels better for you over time? So usually what we find is if somebody, for example, starts snacking all around the clock, then they'll start talking about the eating in ways where they feel out of control, right? So they're like, well, I just can't stop. I mean, you know, I get really hungry and I can't control it. And it's all these cravings. Instead of considering, well, maybe it's a missed signal. If we then just step back and do a reset, and we might say, stick with 3 meals in a day, keep it within a 12-hour window, and just do that for 2 weeks and see how you feel. And most people feel more regulated and they feel more in control. That's how you know you're on the right path. So I think for most people, when they start feeling out of control, overwhelmed, unwell, they start having, you know, health problems or just really feeling not in control of themselves or their life, something's off. And it's often related to their circadian cycle. And whether it's the eating patterns, the sleep patterns, the movement patterns, those all matter.
Yeah. And I think it's very complicated here in our country too, because there's a lot of dysregulated things, right? I mean, our food, fast food, easy access to ultra processed foods, but screen time for all of us, I think we're all a little bit addicted, right?
Totally.
So we're staying on our phones too long. We're engaging in social media, which is stimulating us and probably raising our cortisol and anxiety right before bed. So there's so many different habits that we can start to tweak to see, is that going to help you fall asleep better? Is it going to help you stay asleep longer? There's just so many things to tackle.
Yeah. And you know, that is what's so cool, is there's so many angles. So I think it's helpful. A lot of people will come in and they'll say, just tell me what to do. I'm like, okay, well, let's first figure out what's happening. And then I can, you know, list the three things that could make a difference, and you pick one and start with the one, and there's that ripple effect, right? Then it becomes easier to do a second thing. And when you feel really good, then it's really inspiring to do that third thing. So I think that's the really fun thing about the human body, is it's pretty resilient, and even little changes can make huge outcomes changes and make everything else kind of fall into place. We just have to figure out what's that first thing to just, you know, nudge a little bit.
Yeah, you're so right, because it's very difficult to tackle too many things at once. You get overwhelmed and you end up doing nothing. But sometimes if you hit that keystone habit, that one thing helps everything fall into place because you feel better suddenly. And then it's easier to do the other habits instead of starting somewhere else where it's going to feel really hard until you get another thing optimized. So that's really good information. So let's talk about informed nutrition. What does that mean? And how can we take advantage of it?
Informed nutrition, the way I think about it is, first, it's about understanding and being clear about what's happening. So each person has a different history and different, you know, starting line. So first, understanding that, and then being very deliberate with the choices of what you put in your body to get the outcome that you want. So it's kind of like knowing where your starting space is and then knowing where you want to go on the game board. And the informed nutrition is the nutrition that gets you to that space as fast as possible, right? With as many simplifications as possible. So that's how I think about informed nutrition, is that map and the strategy to get right where you want to go as fast and as easy as possible.
So what might be some examples of that? Like, what are the different things that you might be tweaking to try to get to a certain goal?
So one of the things that people talk about is that they're hungry. So they might, so in my office, they'll come in and they'll say, I want to lose weight. Let's say maybe menopausal weight gain, perimenopausal weight gain around the waist. And I say, okay, well, what have you done so far? And they'll say, you know, I've tried cutting calories and I've done the low fat and I've done the exercise like crazy. And, you know, I've done the, you know, spa thing and I've, you know, there's so many things, right? And the different diet plans and whatever. I'm like, okay. And what happens? And many times people say, well, I get hungry, or, you know, it requires too much focus because I'm just fixated on counting something or, you know, paying too much attention. So this is where intuitive eating becomes very appealing. But if you don't know what the signals are that your body's getting and where you're trying to go and which levers you can pull, it's easy to hit the wrong things, right? So if you're hungry and you eat Oreos, that's a very different response in the body than if you're hungry and you have, you know, some protein and veggies. Very, very different. So I think part of this is, again, finding where the person is starting. So number one would be making sure they're getting adequate nutrition. All the other stuff, like the Twinkies or the Oreos, those would be separate. They don't count as part of your nutrition. So if your body can tolerate it and that's what you want to have, that's not going to be your main course. And that's not going to be the first thing you start with. First, you got to nail the nutrition so your body can build on healthy ingredients and you're building a castle, you know, for your body instead of a hut with some junk food, right? So I think that's the most important thing is first, figure out where you are. And if you're not getting adequate nutrition, you get adequate nutrition. Secondly, look at the times. So if you're eating around the clock and your gut doesn't get to rest, there is a problem there, right? Your gut has to have some rest. You have to give it a break. So that would be wherever you're starting from, you're trying to increase at least a period of time, usually while you're sleeping, that includes a 12-hour time period of just resting the gut. People might call it intermittent fasting or time-restricted eating, however you want to call it. You have to give your gut a rest for about 12 hours. And so those are two very, very simple things that then your body can start regulating and it can start cycling hormones and it can start letting you sleep when you're supposed to sleep and it can actually repair and be a better nutrient absorber. So those simple things are the places to start first. But some people will say, well, I'm not willing to do that. Okay, well, are you willing to go for a walk? Can you get up and down from a chair, you know, during your sedentary job? So maybe every hour when you, you know, open a new email, you stand up and then you sit back down again. That's a squat, right? Like there's different things that people can start doing. And the problem is there's so many options. Sometimes you need somebody else to say, okay, can you do this? And you say, no, I don't want to do that. Can you do this? No, I don't want to do that. Can you do this? Well, yeah, I'll do that. I can do that. And then that's the starting space.
Yeah. And just like you were saying earlier, once you start doing those small steps, sometimes people then gain the confidence that they can add something else that may seem a little bit more difficult for them. Totally. But I agree. I think that there's so many of us that don't have even, you know, a minimum of that 12-hour window of gut rest because we're eating until late in the night, get up first thing in the morning, have to have some kind of sugary pastry with your coffee in the morning, those kinds of things. And so a lot of people don't realize that some of their gut issues too, like chronic abdominal pain and bloating and digestive issues are because they're constantly eating when the gut's not ready. The gut's like, I haven't processed what you already put in here. Why are you putting more stuff in here? Everything's backed up. Give me a break. So those are all really good reminders.
If you're serious about your health and longevity, there are key numbers you need to know, like your lipid levels. Did you know that over 40% of Americans have high cholesterol without realizing it? And up to 25% have undiagnosed diabetes. You can easily track your blood sugar with a simple hemoglobin A1C test. But let's be honest, getting labs done can be a hassle. Multiple steps, long waits, and the frustration of tracking down your results. That's why SciFox Health is a game changer. They pioneered the most comprehensive, convenient, and affordable at-home blood test on the market. With just one kit, you can test over 17 critical biomarkers, including your hormones, triglycerides, HDL, LDL, ApoB, and hemoglobin A1C, all without needing a doctor's order. Through regular biomarker testing, personalized assessments, and tailored action plans, you can identify potential health issues and track progress as you make changes to improve your biomarkers. The ability to take control of your disease risk and enhance health span is now more affordable and convenient than ever through SciFox. No more driving to clinics or waiting weeks. Just a few drops of blood mailed back in a prepaid envelope and your results are delivered within days. It's that simple. Plus, you can upload any past blood test results to get free explanations, insights, and recommendations. It's the easiest way to keep all your health data in one place and start using SciFox's platform with zero hassle. I've already used my first kit and plan to repeat it. SciFox Health is the most convenient and cost-effective way to monitor your blood biomarkers and stay on top of your health. Ready to take control? Visit SciFoxHealth.com/Yami and use the code Yami, Y-A-M-I, to get 20% off your first test kit. That's SciPhoxHealth.com/Yami.
Well, it's official. Back to school season has begun. Why does it always seem to sneak up on me? We are now in the whirlwind of drop-offs and pickups, sport practices, and parent volunteer hours. There is so much to do all the time. That's why I'm really glad we have ways to keep eating healthy even when the schedule is bursting at the seams. If you want to ensure that you will be able to put delicious and nutritious meals on the table during the busy school fall season, I highly recommend Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited process ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that make it easy to stick to a healthy living routine. You get to choose from 80 plus flavor-packed options that allow you to take back time in the kitchen with dinner ready in 30 minutes. Here's the best part. Green Chef delivers everything you need to make convenient, wholesome, and delicious meals directly to your doorstep. Each meal kit includes pre-measured ingredients, as well as some produce that comes already pre-chopped, as well as custom sauces that are pre-made in-house. They also provide the recipe cards, and the meals are very simple to make. It's a delicious, fresh, home-cooked meal without the hassle. Green Chef takes the stress out of cooking. The recipes are easy to follow and everything you need is included, so even less experienced cooks in your house can prepare a delicious home-cooked meal. I appreciate the variety of plant-based meals available. This week we had curry-spiced sweet potato wraps, mushroom artichoke and pesto flatbreads,
and spicy peanut and veggie sesame rice bowls. Those were extremely delicious. The recipes are so yummy and approved by the whole family. I love that they include lots of veggies for a delicious and nutritious meal. The vegan meal kits are hearty, so you don't have to worry that you'll go hungry. And now you have the option to double your portion of protein or veggies, and you can swap to a plant-based protein like organic tofu or tempeh. We have loved using Green Chef in our household. If you want fresh, home-cooked, healthy meals to put on the table, look no further than Green Chef. And now, take your healthy routine further with 2 times the support. You get to select from Green Chef's healthiest menu ever and access thousands of top-rated gyms and fitness studios worldwide from ClassPass. For a limited time, new Green Chef subscribers will also receive 50 free credits to use at ClassPass, about a month's worth of membership. Go to greenchef.com/IAmHumanClass for 50% off your first box, plus 50 free credits with ClassPass. That's code IAmHumanClass at greenchef.com/IAmHumanClass to get 50% off your first box, plus 50 free ClassPass credits. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Renting from Armoire is perfect for me because I love fashion. I get bored easily. I love to try new things with low commitment, and I'm also a minimalist who is budget conscious. Clothing rental just makes sense. It's so fun. You get to try new styles that you may not be brave enough to buy and keep forever, and your wardrobe stays fresh and updated. We live in a small old house with tiny closets that get cluttered easily, but I love clothes. I don't want to compromise. I want to look cute and feel great, and with clothing rental, it's a win-win. My first shipment of rental items arrived quickly, and all my items were neatly folded, clean, and ready to wear. The first item I tried on was a pair of overalls from Wild Fang, and I've already worn them 3 times because they're adorable and so soft and comfy. Today, I'm wearing a beautiful floral linen wrap dress from Yumi Kim, and I feel so feminine. It's really elevated my mood. I have 4 more items to try this week, including some cute corduroy wide leg ankle pants, a pair of super wide leg jeans, a sophisticated midi dress, and a puffy sleeve V-neck sweater. Getting dressed in the morning is exciting, and I feel great all day. There are so many reasons to try Armoire. First and foremost, you'll always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's affordable. They have many plans to choose from, depending on how often you'd like to swap out your outfits, but it could actually save you money in the long run. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, letting it sit in your closet for years until you finally donate it. It also feels good to support a company that is women-founded and women-led. And finally, Armoire can help you define your personal style. It gives you recommendations based on your body type and what you already like, but it also gives you the freedom to explore different styles you may not otherwise buy. If you've never tried something like this before but feel intrigued, I recommend that you give it a try. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Dr. Yami. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/DRYAMI to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so here's the biggest question of the interview today, okay?
Ooh, I love it.
How can we tackle the health crisis affecting our country? And do you have hope that we can turn the tide?
That is a big question. And I'm, you know, definitely not the person that can answer that with any authority other than the fact that I do believe there's really two components to that, the individual component and the systems component, right? So systems-wise, it's about setting the environment so that it's easier to pick the healthy options. You know, having sidewalks in the neighborhoods helps people walk and they, you know, might get outside, creating safe neighborhoods, right? Like these are things that are systems problems that need to be addressed. And even, you know, what the grocery stores look like, right? How many shelves at eye level have all the health food? Well, not many, right? So there's certain things that we can do, even the school lunches. That's like, we won't even go there, but there are certain policies and systems issues that need to be resolved. And there's wonderfully brilliant people working on that. And it's a very frustrating and slow moving ship. I do think people are getting more and more enlightened and are not willing to put up with being manipulated to eat trash food, basically. That being said, what could individuals do? I do believe individuals can make a huge difference for themselves because patients that I've taken care of have blown my mind. I mean, I would have said probably at the beginning of my practice that I did not believe it would be possible. And as you know, like people can surprise you, right? And I've had several patients who have shown me that I've been wrong and it's completely possible. You know, I have 8 clinics right now across multiple different zip codes, and some of them are in the city of Chicago and some of them are in suburbs. And so there's a wide variety of people and lifestyles that are represented by the patients in my clinics. And what's really cool is with education across all of our clinics, so we pretty much have, you know, standardized sort of the knowledge that we're hoping our patients gather, we can get similar outcomes across all the zip codes we serve. And to me, that's something that in med school, I was told was not possible. And it is possible because I've seen it in my clinics. And what's really cool is when you empower people with knowledge and they start seeing their friends and their family having wild success, feeling better, reversing disease, getting more active, starting a new path in life, it's contagious. Everybody wants that. And so it's so much fun to watch communities blossom and we'll get people coming in. My buddy was in here, you know, and looks so great or is, you know, has a new job or did something wonderful. And I want that. So, you know, here I am, right? And it's like, oh, that's so awesome. That's the power of communities. So if we educate enough people and people become aware of what they can do, I think we can change things for the better.
Wow, that just gave me butterflies in my stomach. I love hearing that. What that reminds me of too is informed consent. Because you know that in medicine, we learn that before we do any procedure, before we do something or give a treatment, we need to give a patient informed consent. Yeah. Tell them the pros and the cons, the risks and the benefits, you know, what could go wrong, what are the expected outcomes. But I think that sometimes we neglect to think about that when it comes to diet and lifestyle. Because I think a lot of times, just like you were saying, we've had this bias that, well, patients are going to do it anyway.
Yep.
They don't care. They just want the quick fix. So I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my time talking about this. But what you're telling me is that we have to make sure that people at least have the information and then they can do with it what they wish. But if they don't have the information, they're disempowered. They can't act on it because they may not have access to it. They may not have access to it in other places. So we have to be responsible as healthcare providers, as lifestyle medicine providers, to provide that information as part of our informed consent when it comes to prevention, but when it also comes to treatment of some of these chronic conditions.
I love that analogy. That's so brilliant. Yes, I totally agree. So, you know, a lot of times we do make a judgment and say, oh, this person is probably not going to do what I asked them to do anyways, which is not helpful, right? That person gets to decide. And what's been really cool and inspiring for me, you know, in practice has been to see knowledge is so powerful. You can't unknow something once you know it. So if you know that there's a connection between what you put in your body and how you feel and how many medications you're going to have and whether your toe's going to be amputated or whatever, you might do something different. And most people do. Most people, it turns out, if they have a partner with them, whether it's a provider or somebody in their community or somebody in their family that is, you know, rooting for them and cheering them on and supportive of trying something new, they make amazing progress. I remember learning diabetes is a one-way street. Once somebody is on insulin, they're on it for the rest of their life and it's just downhill from there. And your job is just to slow the decline. I was like, wow, that is such a downer way to think about things, right? Unfortunately, I had a patient who I had this in my head. Oh, this is just a downhill slope, right? And the patient was like, I'm willing to do anything. Tell me what to do and I will do it. And I said, well, I don't really know if this is going to work, but we could try lifestyle stuff and see if that makes a difference. And maybe we could decrease the amount of insulin you're having to inject. And she jumped in and she said, I'm willing to do anything to feel better. And wouldn't you know it, she blew my mind. She reversed her diabetes. She got off her walker. She's exercising. I thought, wow, this is possible. And this whole time, I didn't know that was possible. And this person showed me, oh no, what you learned in med school was incorrect, actually. So completely altered the way I practice medicine.
Oh, that's so powerful. That is so incredibly powerful because these messages, they're propagated in our society, but just like you said, they're propagated among physicians as well. And we're the ones that they trust the most. So if we don't have a belief that it can get better, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to progress. And what you're saying is that it's just creating a ripple effect. When patients get better, they feel better. And they're like, hey, this worked for me. Maybe it might work for you. Why don't you try it? And then the next person, the next person, the next person. And then we have all these people that are empowered and feeling better. Totally. I'm curious a little bit about, do you have any basic tenets, like overarching philosophy that you have across the 8 clinics that you teach the patients?
So the one thing that's the foundation of everything we do and that I've learned from over 25 years before I was a physician, what helps people be successful long-term, including with weight loss and weight loss maintenance, is the development of self-compassion. And so everyone's like, oh, that's so corny. No, but it's for real. So, you know, and self-compassion means there's no failures. There's always compassionate learning about what did that experience show you? What did you learn from that? And what can you take forward? And if we just stop fighting and hating ourselves when we're not perfect and instead embrace and be like, ooh, what can I learn from this? Then first of all, it's way more fun to experiment and try things and see what works for you. But it's also not scary to try something new because everything is like, ooh, let me see how this is. And, you know, if you look at a 2-year-old, they're always trying new things and they fall over and they clunk their head and, you know, and they bounce right back up and they get right to it again. And, you know, whether it's good or bad stuff, right? And they're kind of testing their impact on the world. And we can do that as adults too. But oftentimes we're so judgmental about it, not for a 2-year-old, but for adults, we're not compassionate about, oops, I shouldn't have done that. That didn't work out the way I wanted, right? It becomes a judgment instead of saying, oh, that was not the result I wanted. I did not want to develop type 2 diabetes or whatever it is. What can I learn from this? And what can I try differently? Yes, you can just add more and more meds on, or you might step back and say, hey, what's going on here? Maybe I'm doing something that's not working for me, and maybe it works for other people, but it didn't work for me. So again, listening to the signals and really appreciating your body is designed to figure it out. It's designed to thrive. And so whatever setup you give it, it's going to run with that. And if it's not going the way you want and you're out of ideas of what to try next, that's when you turn to other people who figured it out. So I think that's what's kind of fun is paying attention. If you develop your self-compassion, so every single thing that happens is a lesson and something to just be curious about and be amazed at, then it's way more fun and you can make progress much faster without all the suffering.
Although what I was thinking the whole time you were talking, I'm thinking about my swimming journey. So I started doing triathlons. Ooh, I've done 270.3 Ironmans, and I have a third in about 11 weeks. I only started learning how to swim freestyle a year ago, so about 1 year ago. And I still don't love it. In fact, I still dread it every time. And I, when you talked about the self-compassion, what made me think about it is that this journey is difficult, whether it's changing your lifestyle, changing your diet. I mean, we live, like you said, we live in a system that makes it hard to eat healthy.
Yeah.
Your whole family wants to go out and have pizza and burgers every night. The commercials on the TV, every single social event has ultra-processed foods, alcohol, everything. So I think that self-compassion also gives you that feeling of like, it's okay if it's hard for a while. Let it be hard for a little bit. It will get easier eventually, but just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Keep practicing. Keep, you know, having the angles to help yourself make it a little bit easier, but also knowing that it's okay if it's a little difficult at the beginning. You know, that's what made me think.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay for it to be hard. And in fact, that's where the area of growth happens, right? When it's hard, even when you exercise, when you're going to school, learning something new, when you're trying a new skill, we don't start out like all perfect at it because then it's actually not that interesting then, right? Yeah. Like there's no growth there. Humans love to see progress. And so if there's something that you could get better at, that's pretty cool. If you stick with it, it starts getting easier and more fun. Just like you said, sometimes it takes longer than we like though.
Yeah. And just thinking about it, like it's a skill, like everything we can learn, it's just a skill. And some skills require more time than others, like learning how to swim freestyle.
Yeah.
So
that
frustrating,
so
but
cool.
I am getting better and I know that I'll get better, but my mantra is that practice makes me better. The only way I can get better is through practicing. And that gets me to the pool, even though I don't love it yet. So that's the same way with these little things. Okay. Like eating vegetables at my meal is really hard, but practice makes me better. And I know that eventually I'm going to crave and want to eat those vegetables. You know, same kind of concept there, you know?
Totally. I want to understand, why did you start picking up freestyle? Like what inspired you to do that? That is so fabulous.
I just had it on my bucket list that I wanted to do an Ironman, a half Ironman.
Okay.
Although now I'm kind of thinking I may want to do a full someday. Not yet.
I think you will.
But the only way to do a triathlon is to be able to swim.
Yeah.
And, you know, freestyle is the most efficient, fastest, stroke. So yeah, I had to do it. I knew that was going to be the hardest part of it. But I went straight. My first triathlon was a 70.3 because I knew that if I started with a smaller one, the commitment was lower, the price is lower, everything. I just knew that it was going to be easy for me to just be like, this is too hard. I'm telling you, there were a lot of tears shed. There were a lot of tears shed. So it's been a journey, but it's taught me so much because it has been one of the hardest skills I've ever had to learn as an adult.
Yeah.
And I think also for us physicians, we're all like high achievers and we're used to things just coming kind of more naturally and easy for us, especially in school and stuff like that. So when things are hard, you're tempted to be like, I don't want to do this because it's too uncomfortable and I don't like not being good at things.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
what do you say to yourself when you're having that conflict with yourself? Like, this is so hard, or, you know, like, how do you push through?
So what's helped me is thinking about how far I've come, because I think we have like this amnesia of like what it's like. We want to get better so bad at things that we forget that we were actually worse before. Sounds horrible.
So true.
But I'm like, okay, I have come a long way. I know that first day I got in the pool, it was like controlled drowning for real. So I have gotten better, and it is a hard thing to learn. Everybody says it's hard. Nobody says it's easy. So I just have to keep practicing. I just got to put the time in, you know, get those 10,000 hours and just keep practicing. And that's what keeps me going. And I do hope that eventually I'll like it, but I just know I have to keep going. Maybe in 10 years, I'll let you know. I finally like it. We'll see.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay. So Dr. Perella, I want to know about your personal health and well-being protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to get a little nosy. What's your diet like? Do you personally integrate any time-restricted eating or intermittent fasting? What kind of things do you do for your own lifestyle, well-being, and longevity?
So for me, I need some flexibility. So a lot of people are all about do the same thing every day and have some routine. That doesn't actually work in my life because no 2 days ever seem to be the same. So the things that are pretty standard are bedtime and wake up time. And I say that knowing that on weekends, I go to bed later than I intended and I sleep in a little bit later. So it's not 100%. You know, it's an area I'm working on for sure. But I would say I definitely get my 12 hours of fasting overnight, period. I do not eat in the middle of the night, even if I'm starving and I've been up all night, you know, I still am not going to do that. So I'm very clear with that. I also am a strong advocate of water, water, water. So most humans are dehydrated at most of the time. And so I'm a big believer in hydration. So sometimes some of the chronic complaints of hunger or cravings or headaches or whatever is just, you know, because you're dehydrated actually. So that's an area that I try to pay attention to. And I keep a massive water bottle with me at all times at arm's length. So that's definitely there. I actually also really like some way of stretching my fascia. So I think about exercise and movement in multiple different ways. But one of the things I think about is, am I moving my fascia in different ways throughout the day? So fascia is basically like the saran wrap that's, you know, around the whole body right under the skin and keeps us in our shape. And I feel like if I don't keep stretching it, it's not going to stay stretchy. And so then it's almost like shrink wrap. It becomes harder to move. It's a little crunchy, you know, a little painful to get going. And so I like to keep my body more stretching in different ways, or, you know, reaching for a phone or getting up. And so that's something that I really pay attention to. So while I'm doing that, I will sometimes eat standing so that I can just be in a different position than I might be otherwise. And I make sure I'm getting protein. So if I'm hungry, it's protein, water, pretty much that's the protocol, and then vegetables. After that, if I'm still hungry, then I'll throw in something else that I might be, you know, wanting to throw in. But for the most part, I avoid alcohol and sugar. I do have, you know, alcohol and sugar at times, but it's not very regular. It's very inconsistently irregular. So that's really, it's not complicated. And I don't eat more than 3 times in a day, usually 2 times in a day.
For your fascia, do you do like yoga or anything like that? Or is it just your own movements that you're kind of intuitively feeling where you need a stretch?
I do some yoga moves, although mostly I'll do what's called calisthenics, which is different than calisthenics. Calisthenics is kind of a workout where you're basically stretching your fascia and engaging your muscles at the same time. And it's a really, really powerful physical activity. You know, the person who started it, Callan Pinkney, has since passed, but I think there's Calisthenics studios or videos. I just learned this, I don't know, when I was a teenager. My mom was doing Calisthenics, and it really stretches out the body and works the muscles simultaneously. So I've really liked that for sculpting and so on. And then power plate. I'm a huge fan of power plate, which is a whole body vibration machine. And, you know, it's in most of the athletic training rooms and so on. I really like that as well for working my lymphatics and fascia. I'll stretch on there, do some work on
that. Nice. Yeah, that thing is no joke. That thing is really powerful. I think I've only tried it once and my whole body was itching afterwards. So I may have to get on it a little bit more. You probably just need to work up, right? Like you start small amounts and work up to
start
it.
Start small and work your way up. And what's really cool about it is if you are injured, it's used in rehab. It's used for osteoporosis. It's used for strength training. It's used for massage. So if you have a practitioner that knows how to use the power plate and maximize the benefits of the power plate, it's the fastest way to activate your muscles and fascia and lymphatics. And it's just so easy. So of course, you know, I have 2 boys and one of them was like, that is a big joke. That doesn't do anything. It's, you know, a scam. And I was like, okay, stand on it. So he got up and he stood on it and I turned it on and it's just vibrating in 3 different dimensions. And he's like, wow, I'm like starting to feel like I'm working out, even though I'm just standing here. And I'm like, yeah, because all of your muscles and your proprioceptive nerves are having to keep you steady on that plate. So it's activating every single muscle in your lower extremity without you having to actively try to do a workout. So he was convinced after that. But, you know, that is just one of those things. It's kind of fun to find a tool that helps you maximize your workout.
That's cool. Yeah, I could see for sure how it could help with bone density as well and just creating forces in different ways that people aren't used to. So, well, I haven't heard that in a long time. So I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to be interested to try that again.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Perla, this has been fantastic. I'd love to do the wrap-up questions now.
Sure.
So what do you wish more people knew?
So I wish more people knew that there are simple choices that you can make that will actually have a tremendous impact. And if you have any chronic illnesses or diseases, that it might be worthwhile to think about. It's not just a one-way street of things getting worse. So you could actually find a provider or read some books that can help guide you to try some different things that maybe would help you feel better and possibly reduce the number of medications, even reduce, you know, disease burden. So I think there's lots of possibilities.
How do you define success in this lifetime?
Ripple effect, for sure. So success is if somebody that has interacted with me has some kind of success that they're really proud of or joyful about, and it inspires somebody who doesn't come to our clinics, for example, to make a change. So that person that has impacted somebody else, and now that person that's in, you know, not even connected with us, goes off and has a great outcome, and that spreads. So that ripple effect of causing an inspiration to spread and be contagious and activate people and help people get more connected with each other and feel better, that's total success.
And it reaches all around the world and makes lots of circles around the world.
It's so much fun.
So much more than you would ever know.
Yep.
Is there a goal or a dream that has evaded you or something that you have left on your bucket list that you'd be willing to share with us?
Well, I am working on something to contribute in my next chapter, but it's still in progress. So I will look forward to sharing it soon.
Awesome. Sounds fun. And what does it mean to be human?
So to be human, it means to care about other people and connect with other people. So we're social beings. We're meant to connect and belong, and also to be curious and seek answers, seek progress, go out there and try things. So I think that's what it means to be human.
Yeah, I love that. And speaking of connection, how can listeners connect with you? How can they find you, find out more about your clinics, find out more about the Zero app and all of those things?
Yeah, so obviously through the Zero app, I'm at zerolongevity.com. So that's a free app that you can download, and there's some content on there. We also have Instagram. So I have to put out a disclaimer. I am brand new to Instagram. I don't even have Facebook. So yeah, so I'm one of those people. So I am trying. So you can DM me or follow me, because you'll be one of my first people that, you know, I might see a message from. So we'll be learning together. But those would be probably the best ways to contact me.
Well, Dr. Naomi Perella, thank you so much for being a guest on I Am Human. Thank you for all the work that you're doing and the ripple effect that you're creating around the world. Really appreciate you. And I hope that you have a very plantastic day.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yami. And you are having quite a ripple effect. And I'm so, so grateful for everything you're doing. Thank you so much.
Aww, thank you.
I'm Naomi Perella, and I am human.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I Am Human. I would be so honored if you subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode. We love our listeners and take your feedback seriously. If you have questions or constructive feedback, you can email us at podcast@dryami.com. That's podcast@dryami.com. I am your host, Dr. Yami Cazorla Lancaster. I Am Human is produced by myself and Alejandra Parra. Graphics designed by Alejandra Parra. Music by Angela Sof with Glowbox Productions, and edited by the Castos production team. Remember, human, you are here for a reason. Have fun, explore, and live your life to the fullest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.